If you've ever been in a situation in your life where you feel like, gosh, I know what to do, so why am I still not doing it? This episode is going to answer that, because the issue is not in your knowledge. It's not in your motivation or effort. It is something deeper that most people never look at. Today, I want to talk to you about something that I reference actually all the time, the core element, which is a framework that I created for conscious leadership. Now, I realized recently that I often mention that I am the creator of the core element leadership framework in my intro, but I've never actually explained what that is. So here I am today to break it down in a really practical way, not just for leadership, but for how you show up in your entire life. Welcome to the Resilient Vet Podcast. We help vets and their teams build lasting, fulfilling careers through sustainable mind-body strategies. I'm Dr. Jennifer Edwards, conscious leadership coach, former practice owner, and the founder of the Core Element Framework. As a former practice owner with many years in the profession, I help veterinary professionals and leaders with the inner parts of leadership, strengthening leadership, communication, and culture so they can perform at a high level without sacrificing well-being. And I'm here with my co-host, Aaron Shaw.
Well, I'm excited about this episode. Thank you for the intro. My name is Aaron Shaw. I am here because, well, really, I get tired of seeing great people in vet med burn out, break down, and really leave the work that they care so deeply about. So I created Project VetSpan to help vet leaders build healthier, stronger, more durable teams. And we do this in three steps: assessing where the strain is, installing practical systems that really help, and reinforce those systems so they become part of the culture, part of the clinic culture. And speaking of culture, clinic culture, I would say, is pretty directly related to leadership. And to use your words, Jennifer, I would say conscious leadership and this core element that you often mention here. So let's dive in. What is the core element?
Yeah, so I 100% agree with what you just said. Culture is very much tied to conscious leadership. And the more leaders can learn how to bring that intentionality to their work, the more they can create more empowering and more healthy cultures in every way. So at its simplest level, the core element is a framework for understanding how your results are actually created, right? Because most people think that their results come from what they're doing, right? Their actions, their strategies, their conversations. And technically they do, right? Obviously we do a behavior, we get an outcome. But what a lot of people don't realize is that their results are actually created, what I call upstream. So how you are perceiving, interpreting, thinking, and feeling in the moment is what actually drives how you show up. So a lot of people will focus on fixing their behavior or fixing the behavior of others, but behavior is actually an outcome. So when we don't go, like I said, upstream to really address what's driving that behavior, we often just keep ending up with a different version of the same thing. And then we get frustrated and we get resigned. And then we think that things are not possible that actually very often are possible.
Sounds like a great concept. And let's dig in a little bit deeper here. So here at the Resilient Vet Podcast, we're about keeping it real. So let's talk about, what does this actually look like? I hate to say in real life. What is this like in real life? What does this mean?
Okay. Well, let's think of a common scenario. So we often have, especially as leaders, but you know, this can apply to really any situation with a coworker, but we'll just use an example here of, we have an associate, say we're a leader or an owner, a medical director, and we have an associate who constantly behind on their medical records to the point where it's starting to affect the team, right? Because we know if medical records aren't done and then the client calls or another veterinarian sees the patient, they don't know what was said, what was done, right? It's just, it doesn't work and it has to be addressed, right? Well, ideally it should be addressed. Sometimes not addressing it is actually the strategy, but that doesn't often work. So you're in this situation, you need to have the conversation, you need to be clear, and you need to set expectations. So what happens a lot of times is the leader, the person, whoever it is that needs to have the conversation is frustrated, they're annoyed, they may be even thinking about it for a few days, right? Because most of us, when we have to have a difficult conversation, we don't just say, oh, yay, let me go have it, right? Like, no, we procrastinate, we avoid, you know, there's really not time, or they're not at work, or I'm not at work, like all the things. So we stew. Then what happens is one of a couple of things. Perhaps we just make a quick snide remark to the person in the moment, make just like a comment, hoping they're going to, quote, get the hint. Or we may sit down with them in that state of annoyance and frustration and have a conversation that is really coming from a place that is not likely to produce the outcomes that we want. Even when we think about exactly what we want to say, like, I know the words I need to get out of my mouth, what happens is that all of that frustration, the annoyance, or the conflict avoidance, the trying to tiptoe, whatever the strategy is, it comes through, right? It not only comes through in our tone, it comes through in our body language, but there's energy behind it. And people assess energy before you even open your mouth. So the person feels it, right? So now instead of being open and listening to what you have to say, perhaps they're defensive or they shut down and they are not really hearing a word you're saying. They might be thinking, oh, here we go again. You know, I can't get my records done and all they do is complain and yet they don't give me time. And they're in their mind just running their narrative. So if we were to apply the core element framework here, what it does is it brings an intentionality before the conversation so that we have a better chance of creating a different outcome. So we don't want to have a frustrated, upset, angry associate. What we actually want is somebody who actually feels good and is getting their records done. So it's not just about what you're going to say, but how am I thinking about this person? What assumptions am I making? How do I want to show up in this conversation? Usually the focus is on the other person. Like, what do I want to get them to do in the conversation? But if we back up the bus or go upstream, so to speak, it starts with who do I want to be in this conversation before I even get there? And ultimately, what outcome are you trying to create? Like, if the only outcome that you desire is to get the records done and you don't care about anything else, fine, just go have the conversation. But usually most people, that's not it. They actually want it to be a nice conversation. They want people to feel good at the end of the conversation. So again, it's not just what you say, it's how you show up when you say it. And that is usually what is going to determine whether or not your behavior, your communication, whatever it is that you're trying to do actually works in creating the outcomes you're looking for. And that's often the piece that most people either don't realize or they don't really know how to access it to create something different.
So where does the details of core come into the situation?
Okay, so core is basically a process. It's a framework for recognizing what's happening in the moment, right? So if we think about creating a shift in our lives, right? And we're using this one little example of an associate with their medical records, right? But it's bigger picture than that, right? So we create our lives, right? Like we have the opportunity with the proper training to really have a say. What does my practice look like? What does my life look like? What does my leadership look like? My relationships, everything. And when we develop that ability, you know, there's endless possibilities. So it's not about just recognizing it, but it's actually about creating that choice. And when we start to create the choice in how we show up, we then, as I just described, are able to start to shift our results. When we start to shift, amazingly, surprisingly, the people around us start to change. So when we go through the core elements, it's basically an acronym for a framework of transformation, for lack of a better word. And in the work that I do with leaders, a lot of it is leadership transformation. But like I said, it applies to everything in life, because self-leadership, which is the leading of our lives, is the precursor to any leadership of others anyway. So it's really all the same thing. So when we look at C, we're talking about conscious awareness, and it's about becoming aware in the moment. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? Stories do I have running in my mind? What preconceived decisions have I made about the situation or the person? Assumptions, you know, oh, well, if I say this, they're just going to say that, or, you know, they always, or this never works, whatever the preconceived assumptions are, whatever insecurities we're holding, all of the patterns that are running in the background every day, driving our behavior. When we start to cultivate conscious awareness of these things, when we go, oh, wow, I had no idea, we start to get to a place where we have choice. Heading into a conversation with this associate, as an example, we might be thinking that they're lazy. We might be actually coming at it from a place of compassion, and we might be always making excuses for them. Like, well, you know, they're really, well, you know, like, none of that is right or wrong. It's just also not right or wrong, right? So it's just becoming aware of what's there for you, so you can decide, does that work for me, or do all of these things driving my behavior actually take away my choice and put me into reactivity? So when we have awareness, the next part of it is, which is ownership. And you know, a lot of times we use the term like taking responsibility for your life. You and I have talked about that multiple times in the past. And that's honestly, without ownership, without taking responsibility at some level, there's really no point in going any further with the conversation, because nobody's going to do it for us. Nobody's going to shift me for me. Nobody's going to create my life for me. So when I choose to take ownership, to take that responsibility, again, I'm creating that capacity for choice. I'm creating the ability for me to make intentional decisions about how I want to say things, how I want to be, who I want to be in the moment. The key here, though, is I see this idea of responsibility a little bit differently, and it's actually shifted for me in recent time, because I always embrace this idea of taking 100% responsibility for your life. You know, like, a relationship is not 50-50. It's 100-100, right? So whether it's a professional relationship, a personal relationship, I am 100% responsible for who I am inside of that. They are 100% responsible. And I still believe that. However, nuance to that is, big picture is also not only being intentional about where you take responsibility, but also where we choose not to. And that discernment in ownership, to me, is a big factor in what leads to or can help prevent leader burnout. Or really burnout in other situations as well. But here I'm talking specifically about leadership, because we can overtake responsibility. We can start to carry what isn't ours. So, you know, we've talked about this in some other episodes. And in fact, one day, maybe I'll just do a whole episode on that. But basically, that's the idea of, is that stepping into ownership. Once we do that, now that we're aware and we have some ownership, we can have an intentional response. So again, it's that response versus reactivity. Having the response ability is the ability to respond intentionally. And so it's, how do I want to respond in the moment? And our responses can come in many forms. A response can even just be a thought. It could be something you say. It could be a body posture. It could be walking out the door. It can be saying nothing. It can be so many different things. But understanding that our now behaviors, or the things that we do, ultimately create our outcomes. So again, bringing an intentionality to our response, which we now can do if we've created awareness, we've taken ownership. Now we bring an intentional response. We can start to really shift things. And now we feel better. We feel like, okay, I feel good going into this conversation, because it's intentional and it's on purpose. And lastly, the E is expression. You know, Our lives are the culmination of all of the outcomes we've ever experienced in our whole life, whether intentional or not. And the expression of ourselves out into the world, the expression literally from our words, the expression in the creation of a team and a culture, and what does that look like? What does that feel like every day for the people who show up? Expression takes many, many forms, but basically, expression is how it all shows up externally in our communication, our tone, our behavior, all of the results. And so when we start to, again, when I say go upstream, results are downstream. So we go upstream, we start to shift things, we start to create intentionality. We're now aware, we decide how we're going to respond. And then what shows up is something very, very different. Same situation, different result.
So walk me through how this would actually change something in that situation.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of different ways that, just again, using this example, this scenario might work. And this is a very important distinction, because frameworks, ideas, tools, tips are all fine and good, but not if they don't actually make a difference in real time. And so what's happening with the core element is we're not just describing what's happening. The core element is a framework for actually shifting in real time what the experience is and what the results are. So in a moment, nobody's going to sit there and be like, oh, well, there was this framework. You know, you're all annoyed. You're all pissed off. The records aren't done again. Well, hang on. I learned about this framework. No, we don't operate that way. So, but when we learn about things and we start to integrate them, then we can start to apply them in real time into real scenarios. So there's a moment, you're in it, you're frustrated, you're annoyed. And typically what happens, like I said earlier, you're already telling yourself a story before you even walk into the conversation. So now comes the conversation. Applying the framework of the core element allows you to interrupt that in real time. So you can start to have some awareness. What is it that I'm having this conversation for? What is the result I'm looking to create here? How am I feeling? Am I able to let that go? How is how I'm feeling affecting the tone of my voice, my posture, my facial expressions? What have I made up already about this person? That they're lazy, that they don't care, that they can't be bothered? Or is it something else? Perhaps it's something, like I said, very empowering. Well, then you may not need to apply this framework. So what I'm talking about mostly in these situations are times when we're upset. So when we have an awareness of how we're being, like what we're feeling and what we want, we then have the opportunity to say, does this align? Is how I feel right now going to align with the result I want to create? And if not, sometimes the best thing to do is postpone the conversation. Again, that awareness brings that choice. So the associate's there. You said, I need to have a conversation with you. They say, okay. And you go into the office and you sit down. Now, if you've had that awareness and you've said, I'm going to be responsible for how I show up. They did not piss me off. They did not upset me. They are not causing my behavior. This is a situation. It doesn't work. We have to shift it. I am responsible for my emotions. I am responsible for my reactions. What do I want them to be? And if my emotions are such that I cannot shift my reaction, the answer may be walk into the office and say, you know what? I realize this really isn't the best time for me to have this conversation. Or maybe you say, you know what? Yeah, this is very annoying. However, I can shift that in the moment right now, let go for a moment and come in with a more collaborative, more compassion, more curiosity to really find out, like, what is going on? Like, why can't they get their records done? Perhaps it's something's happening that they've never felt the space to express before. So when we can then take our annoyance, set it aside and bring in curiosity, bring in some compassion, like it must be really hard for them to, again, be being scolded for not getting your records done. Like nobody goes to vet school and wants to get out of school and be scolded for not getting records done, right? So we can start to shift how we approach it. And knowing that we are responsible for the way we show up. And again, that's where that response comes in. So now instead of walking into the office, sitting down, huffing and puffing, sighing, and being like, so what's going on? We've had this conversation before. I don't understand why you can't just get them done. Everybody else gets them done. I got you the AI scribe. Like, what's wrong with you? That's one way to approach it, right? But there's many other responses that we could bring. We could sit down and say, hey, thanks for meeting with me. You know, I know we've talked about this before, and, you know, I've noticed that it's not resolved. So I'm just curious, you know, what is happening for you that's keeping you from getting these records done? And just start the conversation and be curious and say, oh, okay, like I hear that. You know, and find out like what other types of support might they need. Right. So the way we're responding, same situation. But now if you imagine walking out of the office, the first way I described it versus the second way is likely to be two very different people walking out in scenario one and two different people walking out in scenario two. Scenario two, you may have the records getting done and have an associate who feels valued and honored and heard, and maybe not, right? We can't control the behavior of the other people, but what we can do is control ourselves. So basically what this does is it allows us to shift from automatic reactions to more of an intentional leadership. So that in those moments when it really, really matters, we can create the cultures, create the outcomes that we're looking for.
So it's not about doing something totally different per se. It's more about just interrupting what's already happening in front of us anyhow, something that we're already engaged in.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like the scenario is there. Like life keeps on lifing, as I like to say. Like stuff happens. You know, and again, just one little example, you know, but it could be any one of the people who keep doing the thing that they do, or the client that says the thing that the client says, or the patient, or whatever. Stuff is going to keep happening, right? So we're not trying here to necessarily change the situation. No, if we can, great. But a lot of times we can't. We can't control other people. We can't always control the things, the situations that are arising. But what we can do is we can change how we show up inside of it. And that's what changes the results. So exact same situation to totally different results.
And so this is to be encouraging. This could be taught. We're able to change. We can actually do something about this. People can change.
Yes, this is definitely a skill that can be learned. It takes practice. It's an area where a lot of people get stuck. Right? Because they focus on trying to change behavior without necessarily looking at what the patterns are driving the behavior. Very often it's subconscious. It could be very difficult to see on our own. And we try all the things that we know to try. You know, we try what we're aware of. But if what's actually driving our behavior and then driving the results that we create is outside of our awareness, we end up with another version of the same thing. So a practice owner might have a team that frustrates the heck out of them. You know, in person A, B, and C, my God, they drive me crazy. They're terrible. Well, okay. So fire them all and hire three more people. And chances are you're going to end up with the same team with different faces and different names. Because while, yes, sometimes you just really do have a team member, a colleague, a client that is problematic, a lot of times those situations can be, if not shifted, made easier by starting to look at who we are and how we show up to those moments. The problem is when we can't see it, it's very hard to do anything with it. So we try to say the right thing, we try to act differently, but it ends up just leading to frustration. And that's why I always encourage people, like when you're feeling stuck, when you just keep trying and you just can't quite seem to fill in the blank, whatever it is the opportunity to get support, to get help with that. Because we as humans are not designed to necessarily be able to see all of the things that are running in the background. And so I guess the bottom line is why this framework matters is because it provides an opportunity when learned and practiced and those skills are generated, is to actually change the cause of what's happening, not necessarily just the effect.
So this is bigger than just leadership work.
Yes. You know, it's funny. Leadership work is really about who we are, what we do, how we function, and the results we create. It's just in a leadership context, right? So it has to do with like our teams. It has to do with communication. It has to do with meetings, how we get our teams to collaborate, cultures, right? So the contexts are different. What's driving us as individuals is really the same. So yeah, this is about self-leadership. This is about our lives. This applies to relationships, friendships, health, you know, your work. It's about becoming aware, taking responsibility, shifting how we respond, and then starting to create a new version of our expression out into the world. It's like literally that simple, but sadly it's not simple always in its application. It can be kind of tricky sometimes.
So like so many things that are clearly explained, as you just did, sometimes it's the understanding can be clear and maybe fairly easy to understand, but not to be confused with easy to execute perfectly well. Exactly. All the time. But it sounds like I love how you frame this up. And I think it's a nice tool that I will perhaps put in my toolbox and reference. Like all tools, I think that there are sticking points and challenges that come up. So with the core element, where do you see people that kind of tend to get stuck with trying to do this?
Well, I mean, obviously it's going to be different for everybody, and we're all different, right? Everybody's different in their level of self-awareness, work that they've done in the past. For example, if somebody has been working with a therapist for years or working with a coach for years or taken a whole lot of self-development programs and they're just into looking at themselves, they're probably going to have an easier time just applying this right away because their access to self-awareness is going to be greater. That access in is probably one of the biggest sticking points, is cultivating that ability to look here. Now, we are not taught this in general in our society, right? When nobody goes to school and takes self-awareness 101 in high school.
That's not taught in vet school.
What?
That's not taught in vet school.
No. I wish it was, but it's not.
Not yet.
I'll teach that class.
Yeah.
So no, we are not taught that anywhere in typically in our society. Now more and more people are finding interest in it and seeking out resources. But the ability to pause in the moment, let go of the mentality that everything is happening to you so that you can actually step out of that, look at yourself and say, all right, here I am. She just screamed at me again. Now what? Right? So the other people's behavior or the situation can be very real. Not can be, it is very real to you. And at the same time, when we can become aware of what's behind our reactions, it gives us a tremendous amount of freedom, a tremendous amount of choice. Why do some people get triggered by some things and other people don't, right? Like you might walk in a room and crack a joke and 100 people would laugh, you cracking that joke at them, and there'd be that one person who gets deeply offended. And you're like, come on, I'm just joking. And you're like, why did that upset them so much? Why did it? Are they wrong? No. Are they right? No. So what is it that had them react that way, right? That's inside of them. And there's a zillion examples of that all day, every day in our lives where we interpret things, we react to things, we get annoyed, we get pissed off, we may find something funny that somebody else would not. Like being able to start to access that is where freedom lies. And so I think one of the biggest places people get stuck is in that self-awareness piece. And that in and of itself is a choice. Like we each have to, if we want to be able to apply frameworks like this to our lives, and in other words, enact a level of transformation in your results and your outcomes and really start to create something new, well, that takes something, right? I can't do a talk at a conference and impose that upon anybody. And so I can just create the environment in which it can become available if it's not already. And another sticking point I would just say quickly is something I just alluded to, is that very often people, we, me included, default automatically to disempowerment. So we have this experience as if things are being done to us, then we blame. And the moment we blame, we give up all choice, freedom, and power. And so somebody comes in and yells at you, of course it's going to be natural to be like, can you believe that? What a jerk. I can't believe they yelled at me. And that's not false. And okay, now what? So now you're upset, and where do you go from here? Now, it's not about training yourself to not be upset. Anybody would be upset by that. But how long are you going to be upset by it? To what depth are you going to be upset by it? How is this going to impact you? And after you're done being upset, now what? Right? If this is a client that's never coming back, all right, maybe you just let it go. And that is actually your awareness, your ownership, your response, and your expression is in letting it go. And then your end result is peace, right? But what if this is somebody you work with after you're done being upset? Then what, right? So it all comes down to what do you want to create and creating the ability to actually make that happen in your life. So your life can start to actually look like what you want it to look like. And not just finding yourself in 10 years in a life that you look around going, oh my God, this is awful, right? Which sadly, I think is common. VetMed right now.
Such a great way to, the word that keeps coming to my mind as you talk through this stuff is optimizing. It's like you're really kind of like optimizing your life. And again, like your this tool, the core element seems like a nice tool to make sure that you are going to minimize that risk of looking back, you know, in 10 years and thinking, what the heck am I doing? I mean, I love that ownership piece, which we've, you know, we talk about, you know, pretty often in our talks as well. So this is awesome.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it really is, you know, at first it's letters, then it becomes just words, then it becomes definitions of words. And left at that, like, it's just another thing you could put into a notebook and put on your desk. But when really embraced as a model to live by, it really is an opportunity for lack of a better word, for transformation, for starting to really shift what things look like in your life. So my suggestion for this week, as a little how to apply it, is to see, you know, for anybody listening that's interested in this, is to just let's focus on see, conscious awareness. And find yourself in moments, you know, just notice when there's something coming up for you, something's, you know, again, unpleasant. You know, we don't need to worry about the pleasant things in life. We like those just the way they are. But the unpleasant circumstances, and maybe like don't try to fix it. Maybe just take a week where you just start to notice in real time, in the moment, not sitting here listening to this while you're driving and then imagining the annoying coworker, but like in the moment when the person is saying whatever it is that they say or do. And just start to pay attention to what you're thinking, what you're feeling. What stories do you have about that person? What assumptions are you making? How are you judging? And I'm not saying any of that is wrong. Just notice what's there and notice how quickly it comes on. Like it is instantaneous. As soon as that person walks in the room and opens their mouth, it's like, there they go again. You know, and we all do it. I do it. Everyone does this. So start to just notice, because the awareness, as I talked about earlier, is really the first step to changing everything. Because with awareness comes choice. And with choice comes the freedom to create what you want to create.
Love it. So where can people learn more about the core element?
So people can learn all about the core element framework and me at my website, which is drjenniferedwards.com, doctor with a DR. I also love connecting with people on LinkedIn and other social platforms, but primarily I spend my time on LinkedIn, and it's at Dr. Jennifer Edwards on all of the social platforms. And I always welcome people who are interested in potentially exploring this work for themselves or their teams to just reach out, schedule a complimentary call, and we can discuss what's going on and what you want to create.
Awesome. I'll give my little plug here. Again, my name is Aaron Shaw. You can find me on LinkedIn as well. You can check out my website, projectvetspan.com. If your clinic and team is struggling with burnout, turnover, or just team wear and tear, I'd say Project Vetspan's the right move to explore. You can send me a message directly from my website. We can talk about installing a durability program into your team. And similar to Jennifer, we both kind of hang out on LinkedIn a fair amount, so you can find us both there as well. Great information. We have action items now. So until next time, thank you for listening to the Resilient Vet Podcast.
Take care. Bye-bye.